Okay, good. We are on Sadi Amar Aleph, the Mishnah, about 7 lines down. Kol midos shem mikdash hayu nikdashos. All the measures that you had in the Beis HaMikdash, all these receptacles, are all nikdashos, are all designed to allow for the surface to go over overflowing. This is actually interesting. Yes, the Beis, what he understands is you're trying to measure out an Yisaron, because we said back on Ayin Vav in the Beis that if you do more than an Yisaron, you can actually disqualify your Mincha. So we don't want you to have more than an Yisaron, but we want the possibility that it isn't flat across the top to get to an Yisaron. You know, the surfaces are uneven, so you want to be able to head to contain some element above the flat Yisaron line, and that's what he means. You have to have space above the pure Yisaron. The question is whether whether this will apply for liquids as well. The Mishnah here doesn't distinguish. It says Kol Midos Shav Mikdash. However, Tosus back on Zvachim Peches Amid Aleph used said that the word Mida means solids in particular, and it makes sense that it should only be solids, because how do you allow for a liquid overflow when you want to reach, first of all, presumably it is flat across the top, assuming it's flat across, you know, assuming all other things being equal, it should be flat on the top. And then the other problem is that surface tension is going to depend on the type of liquid you're dealing with. Wine, oil are going to actually vary in terms of what you're going to get at the tops of the Rashash says he thinks this is probably just solids. This is, even though it says kol midos, it means for the solid specifically. So in any case, we say there was room for more than whatever measure it was supposed to contain. Chutz mishal kohen gadol shagosha l'socha, the exception being the Yisaron of the kohen gadol used for the chavitin, where it actually had to be an Yisaron to the top, such that when you flatten it up across the top, that's it. You just get an Yisaron. Midas halach berutzei en kodesh. Second, the overflow, or not even the overflow, but the surface tension part that's over the top of the lach, of a liquid measure, berutzei en kodesh, is going to be kodesh. Umidas hayavesh, whereas if it's a dry one, then berutzei en chol, then the overage is going to be chol. Whatever is inside is kodesh, but whatever is over is going to be chol. Rabbi Akiva, Ramidas Halach, Kodesh, Satichach, Berutzein, Kodesh. Rabbi Akiva says that when you're dealing with Lach, whatever's over the top is going to be Kodesh, because what's inside is Kodesh, because the measure itself is Kodesh. Midas Hayavesh, Chol, Satichach, Berutzein, Chol. When you're dealing with Midas Hayavesh, the Kli is not what gives it its Kedusha in the first place. The Kli itself is Chol. We'll talk more about that in the Gemara. And therefore, whatever's over the top is also Chol. Rabbi Yossi Omer lo mishum zeh, or lo min hashem hu zeh. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. The Rashi says lo zeh tam shel davar. That's not the reasoning. It isn't about what kli is kodesh. Rather, ela shehalach ne'kar. The Bach has it with a chaf, which means to be stirred up and muddied, as opposed to ne'kar with a kuf, which means to be uprooted. Va'yavesh eino ne'kar. And the idea here is that the liquid is going to flow around. You pour it in, whatever was on the bottom in the beginning could end up on the top. And this involves us in realms of Brownian motion and calculation of where liquids are going when some part is warmer and some part is cooler, or just the physics of it. When you pour something in, that which ends up on top is not necessarily the last to come in when you're dealing with liquids, as opposed to solids, where it is going to be the last to come in. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, that which is inside became Kodesh when it was inside, even if at the end it ends up on top. So therefore, the overflow is going to be Kodesh. Whereas the solid, whatever's on top, never made it into the Kli. It was always over and above the top. That's the argument he provides. No, it is. In other words, it's not. We'll see. Like, they're going to say it wasn't. It was never nimshach b'shemen. It was never anointed, and it's not what gives the kli. It's not what gives the flower its kedusha. It's property of the Beis HaMikdash, but not able to communicate kedusha. That would be his point. So the Gemara asks, money. When you say that all of the vessels included a space for overflow, or maybe all of the solid vessels included space for overflow, according to the Rashash, whose view is that? Whose view is that all of them minus the Kohen Gadol? Our problem is that we had a discussion back on Pezayin Amid Aleph between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, and in that discussion, Rabbi Meir said there is only one measure in the entire Mikdash that is oversized. Clearly, not what we're saying here when we're saying that they're all oversized except for the Kohen Gadol. And the Chachamim there said there are no oversized measures. So they're for sure not going to be happy. So is our Mishnah a third Tana? What's going on? Mani. E Rabbi Meir, if our Mishnah is supposed to follow Rabbi Meir, Chad Gadush Hava. Rabbi Meir says only one Kli is actually going to be over large. The Rabbi Meir, remember, said that there are two Estronos, or Estronim, depending on how you want to do it. There are two Kalim that hold an Isaron. And and one of them is large and one of them is not, but everything else is straight sized. It's just one Isaron Kli that's going to be over large. The Irabanan Chado Machokava, and if it's the Rabbanan said there only is one Isaron, and even that one is flat across, meaning it's only the Kashir, that's all it is. It's only the right size. Amar Chista la'olam Rabbi Meir. So Chista answers, our Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir. Umay kol midos. What did we mean when we said all of them include space for overflow? Kol medidos. It didn't actually mean the measures. It meant the measurings. And Rashi explains, kolomar, kol medidos sheba mikdash shayu modedin ba'ozim yisaron. All the measurings that they did with that one yisaron kli that had space for extra. Kigon, for example, the kevesh va. The measuring for the menachos of the lamb, the ram, the bull, whatever you're bringing, hayu nigdashos, were all extra. So in other words, this is within the view of Rabbi Meir. No one is saying that all the kalim held space for overage. What he's only saying is that the Isaron, this one Isaron Kli did, and that the Isaron of the Kohen Gadol did not, and that she does Rabbi Meir. Good. We then get into a discussion about the Kedusha of the overflows and what the Machlokas is about between the different views in our Mishnah. Midas Halach Berzei and Kodesh. We said that the overflow is Kodesh. So, B'maika Miflagi. What's the debate about? We're about halfway down the page on Tzadi Amud Aleph, halfway up for the optimists. Tanakama Savar Midas Halach Nimshecha Bein Mibifnim Bein Mibachutz. The Tanakama believes that the liquid measures are anointed inside and outside. Midas hayat, midas yavesh nimshecha mibifnim velo nimshecha mibachutz. And the yavesh, the dry ones, were anointed inside and not outside. And you can see the chart I brought here for the visualization. And therefore, the liquid, all of it is going to be kodesh. What's inside and what's outside. And the dry, only that which is inside. Rabbi Akiva Savar, Midas Halach Nimshcha Beimi Befnim Beimi Bachutz. Rabbi Akiva agrees regarding the liquid ones. He says, yeah, that was anointed inside and outside, and therefore the overflow is Kodesh. Midas Yabesh Nimshcha Lo Nimshcha Kolikar. And the dry one is not anointed at all, and therefore it doesn't give Kedusha to anything. Whatever has its Kedusha from separate declarations, from doing your Kemitza, from whatever you're doing, that's going to give it Kedusha. But that's it. That's Rabbi Akiva's position. And therefore, the dry overflow is not getting any kedusha. Rabbi Yossi Savar, Idi v'Idi Nimshecha Mibefnim v'lo Nimshecha Mibachutz. And Rabbi Yossi, with his explanation about the liquids churning around inside, is because he believes that only the insides were anointed. The outside wasn't at all. V'lo Nimshecha Mibachutz. V'hacha Hainu Taima. And here, the reason why the overflow by the liquid will gain kedusha is because Delach Ne'akar. Here the Bach doesn't change it, but presumably he would. He would do it throughout the Gemara. He would say Ne'akar with a Chaf. Here, it's because the liquid flows and churns. Umigava demanaka asi, and whatever is outside was initially inside, is coming from the inside. By Yavesh Enu Ne'akar, which is not true regarding the dry. That's the source of Rabbi Yossi's stance in the Mishnah. It won't necessarily translate to any practical difference, right? The only practical difference is there isn't, right? But they're all, I think, saying in the end that the overflow of the solid. Well, no, because Rabbi Akiva will say that the overflow of the solid.
But isn't Rabbi Akiva saying that the Kli itself?
Rabbi Akiva is saying, right. No, they're all saying the same thing in the end. That which is inside in the solid is Kodesh. That which is outside of the solid is not Kodesh. That which is inside of the liquid is Kodesh. And that which is outside of the liquid is Kodesh. I think in the end they're all as a matter of practice actually saying the same thing. Because they both end up saying that. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It's just the reasoning that changes. Okay. But the Gemara is bothered. We aren't done here. V'chinek amai havi. So let's say you poured in your liquid, and that which was originally inside the liquid ended up being outside the liquid. And you're telling me it should gain the Kedusha. Why should it gain the Kedusha? Gavra l'may detzarach kamachavim. The person who dedicated it only intended, when he poured it in, to do the shir. He didn't intend to makadish the overage, to make kadesh, I should say, the overage. He didn't intend to make that holy. So we get two answers. First answer, Amar Avdimi bar Sisnam bishmei de Rav, Zos Almeras Kwe Sharis Mekachin Shalomi Das. The first answer is, you're right. However, you put something in a Kli Sharis, it gains Kedusha with or without your intent. It doesn't matter whether you're along for the ride. Ravina Omar, Lolame Malach, Klisharis Ain Makachin Elamidas. Ravina says no. He says you do require intent. However, we have a separate reason for assigning Kedusha to these. Gezera Shema Yomru Motzian Miklisharis Lachol. Our concern is that if in fact we say you poured in your oil and there was overage, then you were able to take the oil and do something else with it, people are going to assume that that means that that which has been in a Klisharis, anything that's been in a Klisharis, can now be used still for mundane purposes. It's a Marisayan issue. We're worried about what it's going to look like. We're worried that people are going to draw the wrong conclusions, and that's going to result in people taking things that had been, in fact, dedicated in a klisharis and using them for themselves. That's what bothers us. It's not Kodesh, but we have to treat it as though it is. That's the second answer, to which the Gemara says, really?
On the Yavish is no Gezerah.
On the Yavish is no, there is no Gezerah. That's correct. Because everybody will recognize it was never in the klisharis. Yeah. So the Gemara asks, well, do we really make such gezeros? We have another case in which you should have made such a gezerah, and you didn't. And that has to do with the bread that goes on the shulchan, with the lechem apanim. Remember that the lechem apanim is supposed to be put out on Shabbos? It's supposed to stay there all week, and then you take it off the next Shabbos. That's what's supposed to happen. So Moshe Rabbi Zera, asks from the following. We learned, let's say you didn't set up the lechem apanim on Shabbos. Instead, you put the bread out with the frankincense on Sunday. And then the following Shabbos, you brought the bazichin on the mizbeach, which you were not supposed to do. It's what it requires a full week. So what's supposed to happen is that the bread and the frankincense are going to stay there. If you put it out on Sunday, it's going to stay there for a week plus 6 days. Until the following Shabbos, and that's when you're going to use it. What happens if you took it off, indeed, the following Shabbos, and you put the Levona on the Mizbeach? Psula. No good. They note in the margin, Rashi and Yuma does not have the addition of Psula. The point isn't to say that it's going to be bad. The point is that that this wasn't the way it was supposed to be done. As Rashi says here, it's Mechuseres Zman. Ketzad Yasa, what are you supposed to do? Yanichenu l'Shabbos Haba. What you should have done was left it for the following Shabbos. Shafilu hu al shulchan yamim rabim ein bakach klum. It can sit on the table for many days. That's okay. And it'll still be fine. End of quote. The point is not the former line about what if you did it on the wrong day. The point is the latter thing that you're saying we're supposed to keep it on the Mizbeach. He says, Ve'amai, why is it staying on the Mizbeach? Hasam nami lema gizera shema yomru mafkidin b'chlisharis. Why don't I say that if you didn't say that you can leave this thing on the Mizbeach, people are going to think that you can store your own stuff in a klisharis. If you're leaving it on for more than the initial week, people think that you can use the klisharis as an extra closet. Rashi here says that the concern is that people are going to say that Lina doesn't disqualify it. That's Rashi's explanation over here for why we shouldn't do this. He says, Nehi nami dein Lina poselas bo ligzer shalo yomru. Granted that Lina doesn't disqualify bread on the shulchan, maybe you want to teach people about Lina by saying that it does. Rabbeinu Gershom gives a different explanation. Rabbeinu Gershom says that the concern is lest people say that you can keep your own stuff in a klisharis, just like you're leaving the bread there longer than you should, because after the first 6 days, people think this bread is now up for the Kohanim. Right? People think that the bread that's sitting on the table after that first week is property of the Kohanim, and they're just storing it on the table because they don't want to eat it this week. That's the way that's Rabbeinu Gershom's understanding, which fits the Gemara's wording very nicely. But the upshot for us is this. If you're worried about Maris Ayin when it comes to stuff that overflowed the liquid Kli in the Beis HaMikdash, why aren't you worried about Maris Ayin for leaving this thing on the table for an extra week?
Why don't we just be makrabin on Sunday?
Because B'yom HaShabbos, it's got to be on Shabbos.
But why would you say there's Mar Dayim here? Because
Otherwise, it's not
only
a problem.
Only the Bnei Yisrael would see it when they would.
So that's the Gemara's answer. So Meir Baruch Shekivanta, the Gemara answers two different cases. The Panim Achutz Karamis, you're challenging from what goes on inside to what goes on outside, what's going on in the Heichal, on the Shulchan, to what's going on in the Azara with the Kelim. The Panim Lav Kulei Alma Yadi. Panim, I should say, Lav Kulei Alma Yadi. Not everyone knows what's going on the Shulchan. Chutz, what's going on outside, where everybody's milling around, Kulei Alma Yadi, everyone is going to know. This was actually interesting, because we have a principle by Maris Ayin, that if you're really concerned about Maris Ayin, it applies even to Chadri Chadarim, even where nobody in the world is able to see, it's still a problem. But my thought is maybe that's true, but when it comes to Kudshim and disqualifying Kudshim, that's not a strong enough argument to disqualify Kudshim. Yeah, laptop. If the Kohen was reason, this wouldn't have gone up on Sunday.
Well, this is hypothetical all anyway.
Yeah.
What about the Beit Av and the Yisrael that are there?
Well, the Yisrael are not sitting in the Heichal. The Anshei Mamad, you mean? The Beit Av are Kohenim.
Yeah.
Beit Av are Kohenim. The Anshei Mamad isn't in the Heichal. They're not hanging out in the Heichal. No Yisraelim gets to go into the Heichal.
But then do we assume all the Beit Av are Talmid Chachamim?
Right, so evidently someone's going to have to teach them that this is a unique case and that's why we're allowing it. Because otherwise, you're right. We would worry about the Kohenim misunderstanding just as much. True. Okay, so what we've seen then...
They show them the Shulchan and the Lechem upon them.
Yeah, so there's a whole discussion as to what exactly is it that they're seeing. I think we said this a while back. We talked about this. Ruchi Baschem, and it was that the Kohanim would see that it was warm and the Kohanim would tell them. Right.
They stay the Shabbos afterwards.
Yeah.
The Shavuos to see the ceremony of the Shulchan and the Lechem upon
them. How do they know it's the same? Different, same or different lechem
upon it. It's lechem. You've been raised on factory age bread, you know.
They all look different, and they would know.
I think they must be able to identify. That's the only answer I can give. But you're right. How does that person really know that it's a different level of bread? Right.
There's a COR on it.
Yeah. It's the expiration. Right. It's the arrangement of the Lavona. Okay. So again, what we have then is this idea that that you had space for overflow in one Yisaron per Rabbi Meir. We talked about why it is that the overflow of the liquids would not gain Kedusha versus the overflow, would gain Kedusha, whereas the solids would not. The different shitos about the Mashiach, about the anointing, and the question of whether the overflow gets Kedusha unintentionally or whether this is simply a gezera, lest people misunderstand. But the Gemara now continues with its discussion about the overflows. We're end of the fifth line up from the bottom. And specifically the case of Moser Nesachim. Tanan Asa, Mishnah says, Moser Nesachim l'kayitz ha-mizbeach. The remainder of the Nesachim, we don't know what that means yet, is going to go for kayitz ha-mizbeach, for karbonos ola for the mizbeach. Rashi here gives you an interesting explanation of kayitz ha-mizbeach. He points out that when they pick dates, when they pick figs, so the figs at the end of the season are called kayats. In fact, the people who collect the figs are called kayatsin. That's where we get our name for summer when we call it kayats, is the time of the fig harvest. So I don't know how many figs they're harvesting in Ontario, but he says the idea is that figs are brought after a meal as a dessert. And these karbanos, the karbanos ola, are the dessert for the mizbeach. So that's why we call it kayats hamizbeach. So the Mishnah says. Right, so I always read it as Kayetz because the Yud is actually written out there. I would understand someone who wanted to read it as Kayetz. The remnant of the Nesachim is going for this purpose, but my most are Nesachim, the Gemara wants to know. What do you mean? How do you end up with leftover Nesachim? What is that? So Chia Bar Yosef Amar Barutze Mido. So Chia Bar Yosef says, that's what we've been talking about. The overflow when you poured in the oil and it overflowed somewhat, that's what we're talking about. Rabbi Yochanan disagreed. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kaosa Shoshaninu. He says it's like the following. We learn Hamakabal Alava Sapek Slasos Me Arbava Umdu Bishalosh. If a person says, I am going to bring flour for the Mizbeach, at a time when the flour for the Mizbeach is 4 Sa'ah per whatever coin, Bazela, let's say, is what you're using. So it's 4 Sa'ah per Sela, but Umdu Bishalosh, but then they become more expensive, and now you can only get 3 Sa'ah for a Sela. And he comes to you and says, I only promise to give a Sela's amount. The answer is sorry, Yisabek Me'arba. You better get. You're gonna have to give whatever you could have originally bought for four.
He wants to give.
The Mishalosh Vamdu Me'arba. If he pledged it when it was three for a dollar, Vamdu me'arba, and now it's four for a dollar, so mesabek me'arba. So in that case, he has to give four. He has to provide the four. He can't say, well, I'm only going to spend a fraction of what I initially committed to spend. Shiyad hektish al hal yona, because the rule is the house always wins. The Beis HaMikdash never loses. That's your principle in hektish. By the way, the long tosfos that you see here is a great discussion, because they talk about this as being the ribbis that we permit for the Beis HaMikdash. And the question of what exactly that means and what would be usher if you did it versus what the Beis HaMikdash did, it ties into this case. But in any case, for our purposes, this is the idea of Mosar Nesachim, because now he has bought more than he originally was going to dedicate. He was going to dedicate three, and he ends up dedicating four, so the remnant is Kayitz HaMizbeach, goes with the Karbonos Ola for the Mizbeach. The Gemara now supports both views. Tanya Kavasid Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, Tanya Kavasid Rav Yochanan. Braisa supporting each side, we're on the third line on Tzadi Amid Beis. Tanya Kavasid Rav Chiya Bar Yosef. Berutze Midos Halalu Mahayu Osir Bohen. What did they do with the overflow of these measures? Im Yesh Zevach Acher Yakriv Uimo. If there's another carbon around, let him bring it with that one. As we've actually discussed that idea. If it's already one that's already been shechted, v'imlanu yipasabalina, and if they ended up waiting till after the proper time, well, yipasabalina, they become disqualified. V'imlav, and if there isn't another zevach around, makitzin v'enas hamizbeach, we use it for this kayitz hamizbeach v'kayitz zemau. What is that? Olos habasar l'ashem v'oros l'kohen, and the meat goes for the mizbeach, and the hide goes to the kohenim. That's the idea. For the Karbonos Ola. And the wine is, and the oil, whatever, is clearly going on the Mizbeach. Okay. Well, the oil will get mixed in with any flour, I suppose. Okay. Tanya Kavasid Rabbi Yochanan. Bryce is supporting Rabbi Yochanan that he says that it's about this, the extra, because you ended up buying more than you thought you were going to buy. He says, Hamakabal all of the Sabik Slasos Me'arba Ba'amdu Mishalosh. He thought he was going to provide four Sa'ah for a Selah, and in fact now becomes three Sa'ah, Misabik Me'arba. So he has to pay for four at the new price. Mishalosh Ba'amdu Me'arba. If he thought he was going to provide three Sa'ah for a Selah, and now it's four Sa'ah for a Selah, Misabik Me'arba, so he's going to have to pay for four the full Selah. Sheyad Hektish Ala Yona, because Hektish always has the upper hand. V'zeo Shishaninu Mosin Esachem Kayitz HaMizbeach. The Bryce says explicitly that this is what we meant when we said Mosin Esachem go for Kayitz HaMizbeach. Good. I think they're using it at that point, because otherwise you wouldn't have a concern for Lina. You would just wait until you had a use for it, and then you would buy it with whatever money you had used. So I think it's actually this oil. Yeah, I don't even know if pidyon is an option at this stage. Although maybe if we said it was only because of Marisayan, maybe then pidyon really should be an option. I shouldn't be able to worry about Lina. That's an interesting point. Unless you're going to say less people misunderstand, then we would apply the laws of Lina even though they shouldn't. In other words, if we take the view that we said before, bless you, that the overflow only gets Kedusha because of a Gezerah, lest people say that which was inside the Kli can lose its Kedusha, then the laws of Lina shouldn't apply. It isn't really Kodesh. Unless we'll say that's part of our Marizayan concern. So we're going to apply the laws of Lina even though they really shouldn't apply. I think that may be the answer. Okay, Mishnah. Kol Karbonos Hatzibur Vayachid Teunim Esachim. This line is sort of like Kol Yisrael Yesham Chelek L'Olam Haba. First, they give you a general rule, and then they give you all the exceptions. The all of the Karbonos of the community and an individual require an Esachim Chutz, except for the following: Min HaBachor Veha Meiser Veha Pesach Veha Chatas Veha Osham. Meiser is Meiser Behema. None of these use Esachim, and we'll see even more exceptions in the Gemara. Ella Shechatasu Shal Mitzara Vasham. The only chatas and asham that require nesachim are those of the mitzara. We saw about the asham mitzara already yesterday. So the Gemara now gives us a long brisa that's going to extend the rest of the amud that tells us how you know the laws for which karbanos require nesachim. I brought it in a table on your sheet. I felt that would be a helpful thing. There are two psukim that we draw on, mostly by Mibar Tesvav Gimel, but a little bit Tesvav Ches, and I brought word for word what the Gemara does with each word. Rabbi Yonas and disagreeing on two points, as you'll see there in the table. Okay, the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan, Vasisem Ishel Hashem. You shall make an isha, a fire for Hashem. Yachol Kol Ha'Ola LeIshem Yeitao Nesachem Afilu Mincha. From that, Rabbi would have said, Kol Ishim, anything that's going on the fire requires Nisachim. That pasuk gives you this, the Nisachim. So he says, even a mincha, tamalamar ola. No, the word ola is meant to exclude a mincha. Even though mincha, some of the menachas do get burned entirely on the Mizbeach, a general mincha does not. And that's the idea. Shlamim and minayin. How about a shlamim? How do I know that the shlamim requires it? The pasuk says ola. Tamalomar zevach. So that's what I get out of the word zevach, that it's even a shlamim, because shlamim is always called zevach shlamim. Toda minayin. How do I know about a korban toda? Evidently, I don't want to include that within shlamim. Toda minayin. Tamalomar o zevach, because the word o is going to give me the toda. Yochol sheni mar ba'av b'chor u'maisru pesach v'chadas v'asham. Well, once I say oh, includes the toda, maybe I should include the b'chor, the maisru b'aim, the korban pesach v'chadas the asham. Tamad lomar lefalei neder o bindava. No, because the pasuk says to bring it for a neder or for a nedava, to clarify a neder or a nedava. Ba b'neder u'nedava tov nesachim, only that which you vow requires nesachim. Sheino ba b'neder u'nedava, that which is not brought for a vow, ain't Nisachim does not require Nisachim. Mashmalotzias Elu, Maisa Behema, Bechor, Pesach, Chatas, Asham are not the product of a vow. I do dedicate to the Chatas and the Asham, but it's the result of an Avera. It's not the result of a vow. A voluntary vow, anyway. Otzias Chovos, Habos, Machmas, Haregel, Beregel. So I should exclude then the obligations that come as part of Yom Tov. Umayninu, what are they? Olos Re'iyah, Veshame Chagiga. The Olos Re'iyah and the Shame Chagiga should be excluded. The Tosfos says also, you could also mention Kivsei Atzeres while you're at it. We just mentioned some of the possible cases, but those are also not Neder Nedava cases. So they should not count. Tamalomar O B'moadeichem. Yeah, but the pasuk says, or that you bring on your moadim. So that which was brought, they wrote in the sheet, Hababa moadeichem, kalababa moadeichem, taun nisachem. That which comes on the moed requires nisachem. Well, in that case, mashmalavi es elu, that includes these, avi si'ire chatas, that I should also count the goat chatas that's brought on each Yom Tov, ha'olu boin chova beregel, since that also comes as an obligation on Yom Tov, so that should be included. No, tamalomar v'chisa seb ben bakar. That's the separate pasuk that's at the end of your chart. The pasuk says later in the same section, when you bring a ben bakar. So ben bakar bechlal haya. I already understood ben bakar within the list of karbanos that we mentioned. The Lama Yatza, why did we specify Ben Bakar? Lahakish Elav, to make a link and say, Ma Ben Bakar Miyuchad Ba Beneder Unadava, I've called Ba Beneder Unadava, to say that the Ben Bakar only comes for Neder Nedava, as opposed to the Sayir, which comes for the obligatory Chatas. So too, any other that's Neder Nedava, but we're going to knock out the goat. I think that's what he's saying. Another possible way to take that is to say that we're modifying what we said earlier about the karbanos that come on Yom Tov, and saying the ones that are for the regel are also neder nedava, like the olas re'iyah. But it can't be, because Tosis wanted to include the communal kisei atzeres. Okay, lasas reach nichoach l'shem min abakar o min atzon. The pasuk continues to say from the bakar or from the tzon. Ma tamalomer, what's that doing there? Lefishenam ar ola, because you said ola. Shemayani afilu ola saof b'mashma. I might have included birds. Tamalomer min abakar o min atzon. Therefore, we mentioned bakar and tzon. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. That's Rabbi Yoshia's explanation, that it's to exclude birds. Rabbi Yonasan omer eno tzarech. Rabbi Yonasan says, what do you need that pasuk for? Omer zevach. It already said zevach. Va'of ain't no zevach. The oaf is not a zevach, as Rashi explains. You do malika on an oaf. Zvicha is shchita. So therefore, I already knew to exclude birds. Im kain matam alomer min abakar min atzon. Well, then, what do you do, Rabbi Yonasan, with bakar and tzon? Different lesson. Lefish nemar adam ki akriv mikem karban Hashem min abeimah min abakar min atzon. When the Torah introduces the idea that you bring a voluntary karban, a karban ola on your own, it says min abakaru min atzon. So yachal haomer harei alai ola yavi mishneim. I might think that a person who pledges to bring a karban ola would have to bring both. Tamad lomar, right? This is like by Arayos when they say achosi basaviv o basimo. So I might think yavishneim, you have to bring a bakar and a tzon with your ola. Tamad lomar min habakar o min hatzon. So therefore, here we say bakar or sheep. Ratza echad maybe, ratza shneim maybe. You can bring one, you can bring two. That's Rabbi Yonasan's lesson. there. So the he takes it differently. End of Brisa. But the Gemara asks a question for Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Yonasan lama likra. Why does Rabbi Yonasan need that pasuk? Ha'amar ad shi'ifra l'cha kasuv yachdav. The Torah says regarding shatnez, right? You shouldn't wear it semer upishtim yachdav, wool and linen it together. And the assumption is that without the word together, I would have assumed you were saying Jews can't wear wool, Jews may not wear wool, Jews may not wear linen. That's what I would have thought it was saying until it said yachdav. So the default assumption in a pasuk is that when you list two separate items, they are separate. So therefore the default regarding the karban ola should have been either bakar or tzon. You don't need our pasuk in order to teach me that. It's true. He says, no, you still need it. Why? Saka day de chamina, I would have thought, top of tzadi aleph amid aleph. Ho aluksiv umin atzon, since it says from the bakar and from the sheep, keman dichsiv yachdav dami, I would have taken that vav, that conjunctive vav, as teaching me that here, just like yachdav by wool and linen, that that you have to bring both. So back to you, Rabbi Yoshia. Ul Rabbi Yoshia da'amar alfagav deloksiv yachdav keman dichsiv yachdav dami liboy ikra. Rabbi Yoshia, you say regarding wool and linen that even without the word yachdav, we still understand the prohibition is against wearing wool and linen mixed, not wool and linen individually. So apply that now back here. Liboy ikra. Here, you should need a pasuk to teach me that a person who wants to bring a karban ola brings one or the other, not both. Haksiv im ola karbanom and habakar v'im menatzon karbano. He says, no, look at the Torah where it talks about these karbanos ola. And it says, if a person brings bakar, then dot, dot, dot. If a person brings tzon, dot, dot, dot. So obviously they can be separate. I don't have to take them as being combined, and I take him as if rather than when. V'idach. And the other one, go back to Rabbi Yonasan then. What do you do? Itzrich, you needed it. Why? Saka daita chamina hanimili b'mefaresh. I might have said that you could have separate an ola that's just bakar and ola that's just sewn if you say specifically I'm dedicating bakar, or you say specifically I'm dedicating tzon. Avo b'stama, but if a person just said I'm bringing an ola, laisi mitravayu, he might in fact need to bring both. Ka mashmalan, that's what it is teaching me. So once again, we brought in this brisa, we brought the source for the rules of Nisachim, which carbon requires Nisachim, which carbon it does not. The Rabbi Yonasan disagreed regarding Zevach. He said Zevach is not to include Shlamim. Zevach is to exclude Oaf. He doesn't need a pasuk evidently to include Shlamim because he never tells us where he got it from. Then Minabakar or Minatzon, which we understood as being to exclude birds, Rabbi Yonasan says to teach me that if you say you're going to bring an Ola, you don't need to bring Bakar and Tzon. You can bring Bakar or Tzon. Whereas the Tanakhama, Rabbi Yoshia, will say, I didn't need a pasuk in order to teach me that. I understood that already. Rabbi Chaim ben Akasha, Rabbi Kedush Baruch Hu, Lizakos, as you saw, the fifth of the term, it's a shnemar, the rechafez, the mighty,